Well, Daniel, God has called you to reach a people group that of a vast nature across many nations that is really virtually untouched with the gospel. And God loves those people, and God wants to see them reached, and that's why he has called you. And as you are there, you're going to be tempted, like anyone going into the ministry, to hit realism, hit the fact that this is really a challenge. This is not easy. But I want to encourage you to go with the same apostolic vision that the Apostle Paul had. And all of us should have that. A cartoon once showed two Eskimos fishing through holes in the ice. One of the Eskimos had made a hole like you might expect to see, about the size of a manhole cover. The other dropped his line into an immense hole that seemed to reach to the edge of the horizon in the shape of a whale. What kind of vision do we have? Now, honestly, humanly, it would be a pretty small vision to be able to convince these people to come to Christ and to try to work out through all the nice things you could do. The vision would be small. But that's not what the Word of God tells us. The Apostle Paul was facing people groups that had never heard the gospel, totally alienated, pagan. In many instances, they were very adverse to the gospel. And yet, he had a vision that was enormous. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you would, here this morning. I'm going to just quickly give you three perspectives on this section in which Paul shares his heart regarding his perspective on the vision that God had given to him. I really believe when he left Antioch, as we looked at there in Acts chapter 13, that he expected the world to be reached. I don't think he was surprised at the end of his life that God had done all the work that he had done. I'm sure he was surprised that he was the one that did it. But I know in his communion with God and with his having been met by the Lord to be given this great charge that was given to him, he knew that he had a God that could do great things. And so if you look with me, we'll read several verses here, starting with verse 11 of 1 Timothy. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. He became a pattern for the kind of ministry that God wants his church to have. In many ways, we need to be praying for the Needhams as they're going to be setting a pattern of what ministry should look like among the Fulani people. First of all, I want us to see that he was entrusted with the gospel. He considered this an unbelievable privilege. 1 Corinthians 9:17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. He said, I am doing this willingly. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. He was just absolutely overwhelmed that God would allow him to be the good news bearer to the world. He went into Asia Minor, went over into Europe, into Macedonia, where Greece and Macedonia were. And I think over, obviously he was in Italy at the very end of his life, but also in Spain. He considered this just an absolutely thrilling privilege to be the first one to declare good news. There is hope in this dark world. And God used him. I mean, this wasn't just a nice little trip that he took three times plus. This was an effective trip. We are here today because of the mighty hand of God upon the Apostle Paul's life. But I just want to charge you, Daniel in particular, never get over the thrill of the gospel. Never get over the fact that you get to tell people about Jesus. As already has been alluded, things will get difficult. This is going to be a challenge. This is going to be a miracle for God to do it. But it's all about the gospel. It's connecting needy people with a Savior that can meet those needs. And you've got the good news. Would God increase a love in your heart? That's what we find back up in verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Story is told of Harry Winston, who was one of the world's greatest jewel merchants. One day he watched one of his salesmen show a beautiful diamond to a rich Dutch merchant. The customer listened respectfully and thoughtfully, but eventually turned away saying, "It's a wonderful stone, but not exactly what I want." Well, Winston stopped the customer on his way out and said, "Do you mind if I show you the diamond once more?" He agreed, so Winston took the stone in his hand. He did not repeat anything that the salesman had said. He simply talked about the gem as an object of deep beauty. Abruptly, the customer changed his mind and bought the diamond. While he was waiting for it to be brought to him, he turned to Winston and said, "Why did I buy it willingly from you, though I had no difficulty saying no to your salesman?" Winston answered, "The salesman is one of the best men in the business. He knows diamonds, but I love them." There's a lot of difference between knowing a lot about the gospel and loving the gospel. Because the love of the gospel and the love of the privilege to give the good news will transfer to the hearts of people who don't necessarily want to hear but cannot resist hearing through the power of the Holy Spirit, because they see that you see it as glorious. You're there. You've come across the ocean. You're sacrificing. You're in hard places because you love these people and you love the truth that you want to give them, and it's overwhelming to you. I tell you, every person has needs. And friends, if we could get a hold of this, it's a glorious gospel we have. It's not a duty that we got to go soul winning. It is a privilege that we can connect people to the Savior, that we can tell them about the best news that will ever be throughout all of eternity, that God has entrusted that to us. And my friends, when we really do love the gospel, and therefore the Spirit of God puts His love in our heart for the people that we're talking to, many hearts are opened. Because they can tell this is real. This is something I better stop and consider. There is something far deeper than trying to convince me mentally. This man, this woman, really loves what they're talking about, and they care about me, and they want me to hear it. And so we see this as a wonderful perspective. And he trusted in the gospel, which was committed to my trust. In the ministry, don't trust anything else but the Lord. The great fault within our own country and the great weakness of missions is a trust in other things than the power of the gospel. There's all kinds of trying to do this or that to impress people or help people. And by the way, missionaries really do help. I appreciate all the things, the kind things the Needhams do, but I can tell you what, they are not counting on that to reach Cameroon. It is the power of the gospel. Only Jesus can change hearts. Folks, we can make people feel good, and we can entertain them, and we can do all kinds of things to even get them to listen. But it is the power of the gospel that is their only hope. And this is, I think, a very important matter. And you will be challenged, Daniel, on this matter. Is the gospel really that powerful? You know it, you're convinced of it, you're passionate of it, but you're going to face trials that will cause you to wonder as the gospel may be pushed aside. But what I do is spend time with God until you get so convinced. It just bursts forth. It changed Asia Minor. It shook Macedonia. It shook Greece. It shook Italy. It shook the world. And I'm convinced God didn't call you to the Fulani people just to do a little work. It is as big as the gospel is. Then he was also enabled to be in the ministry. This verse has meant a lot to me in the ministry, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. We are not called into the ministry of any kind. And by the way, every person here is called. We're all to walk worthy of the great calling, as I mentioned earlier, wherewith we are called. But any ministry that any of us will have, or the Needhams will have, will not be based on their natural ability. It will be based upon the grace of God. Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every person here that truly knows Christ as Savior has the Spirit of God indwelling you, and God has a unique giftedness for you to advance the cause of Christ, for you to build up and edify the church of God. And churches that really are able to move forward are churches that are filled with people that understand that they have a divine mission as important as going to the Fulani people. We've got a people group here too. I mean, it's called the Cheesehead Group, you know. I haven't seen that on a map anywhere, the Cheesehead People Group. But we have our own mission field, don't we? And its own unique issues. And what a great privilege. I'm thrilled to be here. And God has gifted every one of us to strengthen the body of Christ to be able to accomplish the work that we have. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. But God has chosen, Daniel, to give you a leadership gift that was acknowledged by our own church here, by our leadership, and also by the men that came the other day. And it is something that you need to continue to remember. You need to remember it when you really feel weak. It's God. You need to remember it when you've had some success. It's God. It is all His gifting. And I want to encourage you just personally, every morning as you meet with God, thank Him for the gifting that He gave you. And don't take credit for anything that God has ever done through you. Just revel in the work of the Holy Spirit because of Jesus Christ for the gifting that He has given to you. And he does say, and this is very interesting, that he counted me faithful. Faithful. God gives every Christian a gift, but you know, not every Christian is exercising that gift because they're not full of faith. They are not faithful. They are not trusting God step by step in their life. You remember, it's a spiritual gift and can only function if we are spirit-filled. You know, folks, there is so much more that many believers could see done if they would understand that the great calling and gifting they have is directly tied to a full surrender and spirit filling on a regular basis. If we are faithful, and it is required for us to be faithful, as 1 Corinthians 4 says, then God will do this constant work of spiritual gifting. Folks, the greatest thrill in life is to finish a day and realize that was God. And then the next day, that was God. I don't care what happens in your life. When you start seeing God, you can't get discouraged. Satan's going to come along, I can tell you, because he doesn't want this people group to be reached. And he is going to cause you to begin to question yourself. Or if he can't do that, he'll endeavor to get you to be proud and self-dependent. And these are things that we have to resist completely. And we need to just be as faithful by the Spirit of God. I love the illustration of John Wesley. Somebody asked him, if he were to die at 12 midnight that day, how would he spend the intervening time? He said, the next day, he said, why, madam, just as I intend to spend it now. I would preach this evening at Gloucester, and again at 5 tomorrow morning. After that, I would ride to Tewksbury, preach in the afternoon, meet the societies in the evening. I'd then go to Pastor Martin's house, who expects me expects to entertain me, talk and pray with the family, as usual, retire to my room at 10 o'clock, commend myself to the Heavenly Father, lie down to rest, and wake up in glory. And that's the kind of attitude we need to have. But God will not arbitrarily use his gifting if we are not faithful. And I'm telling you, the Fulani people need to see Jesus. They need to see the gifting of the evangelist that God has given to you. And that comes through the matter of surrender as we are faithful. And then let's go a couple more verses and we'll be finished here. Not only did he see that he was entrusted with the gospel and that he had to be enabled for the gospel, but it's very important that he understood that it was the grace of God. He was endowed with grace. Look with me at verse 14. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, our Lord, was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Abundant. That's one of the most precious words in Scripture. Overflowing. God's enabling power. And I want to encourage you to realize, first of all, Satan's going to try to get you to look back like he did with the Apostle Paul. Look at how you were. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I am fully forgiven. And I have been called by you. And at times you'll feel weak and worthless, and you've got to give that to the Lord. If you're right with God, you have been called of God, God will enable you, and his grace is sufficient. But also, as you face impossibility, you need divinity to cut through that. There will be impossible walls, but they are not impossible to God. And that is where, as you are thrilled with the gospel, you are just reveling in it, and as you are depending upon the Spirit of God to gift you and to enable you to do the work of the ministry in your personal life, in your family, and every part of your ministry, there's enough grace to do everything God's called you to do. And I want to encourage you, as the impossibility becomes more realistic, the determination to learn of the grace of God needs to become the passion of your life. Never begin to let down. The vision that God has given you, that you've preached across this country, God means to do it above what you have preached. But you're going to start to be willing to settle for less. Every minister of the gospel faces that. But I want to charge you to realize, as Paul said in this entire context here, God's grace is abundant. It's overflowing. It's all that was needed. And look what God did. And it was able to meet his need. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If he could do it with Paul, he can do it with you. And so I do want to encourage you on these matters. Love the gospel. Believe God to work through your gifting. Understand that you have been put into the ministry. You have been enabled to do the ministry, and there is enough grace. Now, folks, what I just quickly went through with him, this is important for you to pray. We're privileged to have a servant of the Lord out of our church going to a massive group of people. How many are there? 30 million. Spread across several countries. This people group, God's ready to use. But Daniel and Rachel are going to realize acutely in the next several years how weak they are. And we must stand behind them as a local church to pray for the power of God to be there, for their faith to increase, and for God to do the work that he called him to do. My friends, he will do it if we will pray. And they will be faithful. Aren't you glad he entrusted you and put you in the ministry? Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here this morning, I've charged Brother Needham, but really this is a charge for all of us. Every one of us could fit in this category. God does not have a group of people that he has not called to the ministry. Every person in this building, if you're saved, God has called to do impossible things. You have been entrusted with a glorious gospel. Do you love it? Are you passionate about it? Is it something that flows out of your life, or is it something that you feel is a duty? Then the matter of being enabled. Do you understand God's given you a spiritual gifting to strengthen one another in this body, and then the power of God to be able to reach many and to be used of him in a very definite, eternal way? And do you realize that that grace is sufficient for you right now? You'd say, Pastor, I am saved. I am indwelt by the Spirit. There was a time when I put my trust in Christ. But as I heard this charge to this couple that's heading into uncharted territory, I realize that I need to accept the same challenge in my own life. I need to love the gospel more than I do. I need to understand God's put me in the ministry. That's what he's already done. That's what he wants. And I need to surrender to that. I need to trust him. I need to be counted faithful. And I need to be willing to trust his grace to give me victory personally and to use me in a mighty way. These are important matters. This is not just for those going to mission field. This is not just for those in the pastorate. This is for every one of us. And you'd say, Pastor, God's touched my heart today, and I realize if I'm going to pray and be part of the body here to really be able to see victory over there, I need to be doing it right here. It's got to be part of my life. It's got to be real. And God's challenged me that I don't have the love in my heart. I'm not with that perspective nearly as much as I ought to have. And you'd say, Pastor, I want that. I want to have that same heart. Would you pray for me? With heads bowed, would you just slip your hand up for a moment if God has put that on your heart? God bless you. That's encouraging. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? God stirred me here today about my need to have the same heart. But I don't have it without God, but I want it. Would you pray for me? Anyone else? Just join these or raise a hand. God bless you. That's great. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not certain if I were to die, I would go to heaven. Friend, that's why they're going over there, because the vast majority of those people don't know. Right here in America, many people don't either. Thinking church or membership or good works or religious rituals or our own thinking will get us to heaven. My friend, the only way to get to heaven is to be perfectly righteous, and no one can have that without the finished work of Christ being applied to our life. And you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning that I would know for sure? I'm burdened. I just have had a void in my heart, and God's put his finger on that here today, and along with these others, I would appreciate your prayer. Anyone like that, will take just a moment. Would you slip your hand up? God loves you. He wants to reach you right now. He wants to meet your need, and he will do it. Anyone at all here this morning? Now, Lord, would you work in the hearts of these that have indicated that they're truly wanting to be used of you and to love you with all of their heart. And Lord, this passage that we looked at so quickly, would you burn it into our heart that we're entrusted with the gospel. We have all been put in the ministry. And the grace of God is abundant. Oh Lord, would you help us now, I pray. Would you be with these dear folks? Give them a renewed vision for their lives, I pray. Be with any that's not saved here. Would you work in their hearts in Jesus' name? Amen.